This is the SB Live Washington podcast, a weekly conversation about high school sports across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, statewide preps reporter. We've got lots in today's episode. Later on, our own Dan Dickow interviews Nathan Hale, head coach, and Seattle Rotary 17U head basketball coach Dom Brooks. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about two hot-button buzzwords that have a renewed meaning amid the coronavirus pandemic. That's eligibility and transfers. And here to help with that discussion are two bright minds, senior reporter, your pal and mine, Todd Millis, and SB Live analyst, host of the podcast, The ISO with Dan Dickow. It's Dan Dickow, fellas. How goes it today?
Things are good. It's middle of July. It's hot. It's nice. Things are also bad because we have absolutely no clue with what's going on with sports in this world at the high school level, which is obviously what all of our passion is, but directed towards our conversations with this podcast.
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of in our lull week. I expect next week, and we talked about this, Andy, next week's WIA executive board meeting and subsequent announcement is going to be a huge step forward into figuring out what the short and long-term future is in this COVID era for WIA and Washington City High School athletics.
Yeah, this week is kind of an interesting dead period with statewide news. As you mentioned, we're waiting for July 21st. That's when the WIA Executive Board is going to meet next. That's when they say another big announcement is going to come about the status and the timeline of the fall sports season. Up to this date, we know that the fall sports season has been delayed 2 weeks. That news came last week. It came as a surprise when the executive board met. We talked to Mick Hoffman on last week's podcast. He's the executive director of the WIAA, and he had a lot to say about why the decision was made, what fans, players, families, coaches, everybody can expect, and how the WIAA is approaching these tough decisions. But one of the things that we've been able to do in this week where we're kind of sitting and waiting is look at how different leagues at the high school, pro, college levels across the country are reacting to this global pandemic that is continuing, this virus that's continuing to spread and slow and stall the sports world. One of those ways is players, as we've talked about, I believe on last week's podcast, as Mick addressed, are there's talk about players moving out of state potentially, certain players in hopes of if there's not a season here, there being a season somewhere else. Now, this isn't something that, you know, the majority of players are doing, but last week after our podcast was released, Nolan Hickman, he's the second highest rated recruit, basketball recruit in the class of 2020 in the state of Washington. He's Washington's top point guard. He's Eastside Catholic's point guard from last season. He's announced that he is transferring to Wasatch Academy. I'm not sure that I'm pronouncing that right. I even got Dan to give me a little guide on how to do so before we started recording, but is that a sign of what's to come with Nolan saying that he's going to transfer to an academy with everything that's going on? He knows, one, they're playing a national schedule. He's a guy who's recruited at a very high level. He's a four-star recruit and a top 50 player nationally. Is Hickman's decision to move out of the state, play for an academy that might have a better guarantee of at least playing games at some level, is that a sign of what's to come, or is that a one-off? Is that going to be a rarity? What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, I'll take this. It's good to know that he knows more what's going on in the country than a lot of people. I mean, I just right now playing Russian roulette. You could, you know, we've seen this a lot, and we've talked about this, Andy. There's 10 or 12 guys that we've heard about in the state of Washington already that have discussed or actually physically moved to Montana or in Idaho, thinking about going to Texas. Maybe they go somewhere else. I just don't think I think you're just sort of playing Russian roulette because, you know, these, as you see the trends, you don't know who's going to be playing football in the fall. It changes again. This, we talked about, it's a moving target. We don't know who's going to be playing football in the fall. So yeah, I get it. There is a there is a sort of this feeling of desperation right now from parents and recruits, especially sophomores and juniors. They need to get film out there. They need to do something. I just don't know if packing up your bags and getting a U-Haul and driving 1,500 miles to another state is exactly the answer, but that is something that I think we're going to see a handful of athletes in football, and I'll let Dan address this in basketball, a handful of guys in football that might do this, but I just don't think there's any guarantee that, you know, that move's going to pay off.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't think the move is going to pay off. I mean, you move one or two states over because you think it's going to open up and you're going to be allowed to play. Well, what happens if it doesn't? And then you're stuck in an even worse possible position where you're not having games and you're not having a coach that you've developed a relationship, a community that you've kind of been embedded with to be able to kind of really guide you through a potential recruitment if you're even good enough to be at that point. You know, when you look at, you know, Nolan Hickman's case going to Wasatch Academy, it is a little bit different because they are one of the powerhouse prep programs across the country, similar to an IMG Academy and Oak Hill, Findlay Prep that used to be down in Vegas. It's that type of school. And yes, they would be playing a national level schedule. But if there's no high school sports in many states, there's no prep programs like a Wasatch Academy that's going to be able to play games. I mean, I think what people are really kind of denying the fact that this is as real as it gets in impacting things. I interviewed Gary Parrish today for CBS Sports, who's one of the preeminent college basketball journalists and broadcasters that's connected to coaches and administrators across the country. And I interviewed him for the ISO today, and we'll be releasing it in a couple weeks. And he basically said he doesn't think there's any way there's going to be college basketball games even going on in the month of November. So you're talking, and a lot of it is because of, you know, how do you get the capabilities and the testings and level the playing field for a high major Division I basketball program versus a mid-major versus a low major. If we're having these types of issues with high-level college athletes, what the heck's going to happen with high school? Where there's going to be very little testing. So I think, you know, for somebody to jump the gun and transfer two states over to think that they've got to get film or this, that, and the other to be able to play a high school season, you're getting ahead of the game because we've got to figure everything else out first. And the recruiting aspect is, look, if you're good enough, they're going to find you. They just are. That's always been the case. Very few times do guys slip through the cracks and never get seen anymore. You know, I went on a little bit of a rant right there, but and this it goes along with my whole thing with the AAU right now. You're looking out across the country, and there's AAU tournaments going on everywhere. Why? I don't get it. You know, now would be a time for those athletes and those parents to focus in on, you know, do what you can at home to get better. Do what you can to get healthier, as opposed to going to some random AAU tournament that college coaches can't even go look at right now. And I know a lot of them are advertising, hey, games are being streamed on Baller TV. So I talked with a Division III coach just the other day, and I asked him, I said, are you guys and your staff watching any of these tournaments on Baller TV or these other streaming services? And he basically just laughed and said, no, it's bad basketball. I don't get anything out of it. I won't get anything out of it. Because, you know, these AAU teams haven't really had a chance to practice. You know, they can't get a true full evaluation on these guys because a big part of what they evaluate is on body language. You know, the ability to watch kids walking into a gym and see how they interact with teammates before and after games, with parents, and want to see their interaction on a bench. They want to see how they respond to, you know, foul trouble or a bad call from the official. And the coach essentially just said, no, that would be a complete waste of our time. We wouldn't get a true evaluation. So I think the parents have to go back and look at themselves that are doing these tournaments and really putting pressure to do this in the fact that if you do these events, and I'm sure there's football events and baseball events, you're going to put at jeopardy the high school season, which is where the majority of these kids are going to get their memories. So I don't think people understand with these AAU tournaments and these teams just how much money is involved and how much money these directors can make. And that's why these tournaments are still going on. You know, it would be a shame to see, high school sports losing out.
It's certainly hard to watch a stream. I tried to watch the Bossa Ball Showcase up in Centralia, which is in phase three. That showcase took place a couple weeks ago. It's not easy to tell who is who. These are players that you and I, the three of us, have covered in person. I know some of these players, and still it was hard to tell who was who off of a stream, even off of one of those Pixelot AI cameras that go back and forth. Coaches and organizers, as you said, Dan, there's certainly money to be made, and there's going to be money lost with everything that's going on. The coaches and organizers, I'm sure, would tell you that they're trying to get their kids in front of coaches. One of those coaches that's working behind the scenes and is known for getting his players chances at the next level is the guy who you're going to be talking to in this next segment, Dom Brooks. So we're excited to hear what he has to say about this all, about the basketball that is being played right now and the basketball that might be played going forward and how feasible that is. Todd, there was a hypothetical here that you asked WI Executive Director Mick Hoffman about on last week's episode. If you haven't heard that episode, go back and listen to it. There's a lot of rich information there, especially now as we wait for next week's decision. Say the WI decides to delay the football season until 2021. Meanwhile, other states are playing a fall season, hypothetically. Say an athlete or his or her family moves out of state, as we've been talking about, plays the season in the fall, and then they have this opportunity to return to Washington State and play with the community they grew up in, with their friends, in the spring. You asked Hoffman about that. He said, under the rules, it's possible. The WI said it's not going to encourage it. It's not worried about that. But coaches will then be faced with the decision. Todd, since then, in your conversations with your sources, your coaches, athletic directors, do you think a coach would let an athlete play as many as 20 games in a calendar year if there's a possibility that those two seasons could happen?
Yeah, no, that's going to be a big issue. I mean, and that's a big if. And we'll know a little more next week after the WI Executive Board meeting on where this might go. But, yeah, there is a scenario where a football player could leave the state to a state that's playing in the fall, play a regular schedule, come back, play an abbreviated schedule in Washington. And I mean, there's a potential to play 20 something games. That's longer than an NFL schedule. And that's going to be an issue that high school football coaches and administrators are going to have to deal with, because the National Federation is one that will make a recommendation, but not a mandate. And as you alluded to our conversation with Mick Hoffman, he acknowledged that that is something that's well within the guidelines, the rule books of eligibility, if it's a proper move with the family unit. So it's going to really come down to those administrators and coaches in the building on what to do. And I've asked a couple coaches and ADs, what would you do? And they didn't say yes. They didn't say no. I mean, it's something that I think maybe administrators and coaches haven't thought a lot about. But it's something that I think coaches and administrators are going to have to face when they have an athlete coming back and playing a second season of football. Because when you ask a 16, 17-year-old kid to play 20, 21, 22 football games in a 4 or 5 month period, that's a lot of physical. That's a lot of physical stress on somebody's body. So that's obviously something that we're going to have to monitor here in the coming months. Even as well as maybe the WIA will have a change of heart. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe they will sit down and look at this once they determine their course of action here in the intermediate future. Maybe that's something they look at and say, hey, we're going to put a cap on how many games a young man can play in a calendar year.
Yeah, that'd be no different than what a lot of teams or leagues do with baseball pitchers. You put a pitch count. you put a game count on a lot of these kids. Because I agree with you. Just, for example, say another state is playing football in the fall and you move there, and then Washington. And again, hypothetical, moves football to the spring. Somebody wants to move back and get another season of football. That is a lot of demand on somebody's, on an athlete's body as they're developing and growing, that I don't think anybody has really looked at. I mean, that's quite frankly too much.
These sports are at the highest level in high school, becoming such a year-round demand as it is. So the question that we leave with is, you know, will these types of moves happen, and how often and how prevalent will they be? I talked to, you know, Beyond Hickman, which we've acknowledged is a little bit different. I've talked to, you know, one college recruit, a football player, who has already moved to another state. So much yet to be determined as we wait and see how the world of sports continues to react to this pandemic. Scorebooklab.com/Washington is where you're going to find the most relevant and up-to-date info reporting on high school sports across the state from the three of us. We're going to take a break. When we return, I want you to stick with us. Dan spoke to Dom Brooks, as I mentioned. He's the head boys basketball coach at Nathan Hale, and he's the 17U coach for Seattle Rotary, coaching Nolan Hickman, Paolo Banchero, and the likes. Dan, what can listeners expect?
I mean, Dom Brooks is, you know, very well respected in the Seattle circles, both in coaching high school because of his experience now coaching at Nathan Hale, which has a chance to, you know, creep up in the Metro League standings because they're really good point guard, Julian Augusto. But he's also well respected because he's dialed in with the AAU scene. He's a coach with Seattle Rotary, which is the premier AAU team in the Northwest. So, you know, I think it was a really good conversation. And I think he had a lot of really, really interesting and unique takes on high school and the AAU scene.
We're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our sponsor. When we return, Dan Dickow interviews Nathan Hale and Seattle Rotary's Dom Brooks. This podcast is brought to you by Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking with drive-up ATMs. And Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live. They care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the entire state of Washington. Head to WFDBank.com to learn how they can help you meet your financial goals. That's WAFDBank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. We hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are.
Dan Dickow with another installment of the SB Live Washington Today podcast. Andy Bueller, Todd Millis, and myself try to bring you guys current events in the state of Washington. My background, obviously, I'm focused more on basketball than anything else. The greatest sport out there, high school basketball, is one of a kind in the state of Washington. There's been some great players over the years. There's been some really good high school teams over the years. And there is a traditional power on the AAU scene based out of the Seattle area. Today's guest has experience and knowledge in all three of those facets. Heading into his third year as head coach at Nathan Hale High School, Dominique Brooks. Dominique, how goes it in Seattle for you these days?
Hey, thanks. Dan, thanks for having me today on SB Live. Things are a little different this year, but challenges create opportunities, so we're trying to come up with a lot more opportunities and solutions.
You know, I love that about a lot of high school coaches, you know, that they're trying to turn a negative into a positive right now and stay involved with their coaches or their kids, whether it's, you know, Zoom meetings, talking to the kids about, hey, you can train on your own in the park, in your yard, however it may be, or just kind of, you know, staying in touch with them emotionally and mentally in these difficult times. You're heading into your third year at Nathan Hale. How have you stayed connected with your team at your school?
Really, just like you said, just continuing to be there for the kids. I think that's everything. I have a tremendous dedicated staff, and so each coach is assigned a group of kids to mentor, counsel, and just be over their skill development as well during this period. And so each of us take a group. We hammer on them each week about grades, everything, just becoming a man, home life, and kind of tie all of that into basketball. And we meet as a staff every Sunday to get updates from everybody in the program, and then just be able, for me as the head coach, to be able to touch on the guys that I need to touch on individually and continue to create that positive flow.
That's great to hear how you guys are staying in touch with the kids. Now you're heading into your third year at Nathan Hale. A lot of people know the name Nathan Hale right now simply because Michael Porter Jr. played there a couple years back. You're trying to get them back up into that upper echelon of the Metro League, which, again, one of the best high school basketball leagues in the entire country. You got your traditional powers in Garfield. You got your traditional power in Rainier Beach and O'Day. Heading into your third year, do you like where you guys are at and what you guys need to continue to build to be one of the better teams in the league?
Yes, I'm excited going into year three for me. For me, we've hit every goal that I've had the last 2 years, collectively as a group and individually. And so for my kids, I know that they're chomping at the bit to take that next step. For me, my first year coming in after Brandon left, we didn't win a Metro League game. Like, we were 0-16 in the league, and people elsewhere were like, you know, how could you not win? And I laugh because I tell people all the time, like, hey, there were four guys that win the NBA draft out of the Metro League last year. So that just lets you know the level that you have to go against every single day, every single night, to even have a chance to be in the top half of this league.
Yeah, that's so impressive when you hear four guys were in the NBA draft out of that league. It's a hotbed for big time players that go on to play at the college level. There's a number of guys in the league that will be playing next year in the Metro League I'm talking about that are very high level recruits. Everybody knows about Paolo Banchero being probably top five in the country, has a legitimate shot to be a number one player. Nolan Hickman, who I saw a couple times, I'm really impressed. You know, his offers are coming in from all the blue bloods right now. It'll be interesting to see how his recruiting plays out. John Christofilos and your point guard, Julian Augusto, are two other guys that, when I talk to other coaches around the state, are very high on. Can you give me a quick synopsis, since everybody knows Banchero Hickman, but give me a quick synopsis of Christofilos, and then more importantly would be your point guard, Augusto.
What can I say about John? I mean, John's a great kid, first off. All of these kids that you mentioned are great kids and come from great families, have great support, great backgrounds. And then they're kids that just love the game of basketball and love to work. I was telling someone the other day, you know, about how hard these guys work and how much time they put in to be able, in their craft, to be able to get to the level that they're at right now. And John's another guy that I've seen grow up and consistently put in work and improve every single year. Augusto, he's another guy that's at the point guard position. Prep Hoops has him as high as the second best point guard in the state. Most people have him in the top 10 in the state. For point guards out there, you know, Julian's a workhorse type of guy. He's one of the rare players out there that's a two-way player. So as good as he is and dynamic as he is on offense, he's equally dynamic on defense. And being a two-way player, that kind of changes the way people have to go about playing us and game planning for us, because Julian can guard so well in the front court and really push guys to be able to really ball handle through pressure. And that kind of changes the game for us, and will change the game for a college program as well.
Yeah, the time that I saw him play in person and then some of the film that I've seen on him, very quick, very shifty, and like you mentioned, is willing to play both ends of the floor, which is going to continue to make him impressive in the eyes of college coaches, because quite frankly, these days, you don't see that a lot, and it's important to have out of your point guard.
Yeah, and honestly, not only Augusto, and John, but even Paul and Nolan, those guys are all tremendous leaders. Like, they're guys that really are able to rally the guys around them and get those guys focused on the goals that they have, from not only training, from practice to games. And so I'm really
impressed. You know, one other thing that struck me in that last little bit that you were talking about is you mentioned the love of the game that those guys have. I look at Seattle basketball, and so many guys truly love the game, but I think it really comes from Jamal Crawford. You know, there were other guys before Jamal, guys like Doug Christie and some others, but when you talk about the culture of Seattle basketball loving it, Jamal really sets the standard. It's awesome to see him now being re-signed in the NBA as they head into the bubble soon. But talk about the Seattle Rotary program, the Seattle basketball community, and how guys really kind of share that love for the game and share the love for each other to help them propel their careers forward.
I think you just said it best. We have a pay it forward method here in Seattle, and especially the Seattle basketball community around our program at the Rotary. I tell people all the time, it's very rare that you go to third grade games and they're sold out. And that's a tribute to our community. I tell people this all the time. Just on the third grade Rotary team, you can find Jamal's son. You can find Coach Will Conroy from the Huskies' son. You can find Terrence Williams' son. You can find you can find Coach Cam Dollar's son. You can find so many people that are involved in the game of basketball at such a high level around the program and around the kids on a day-to-day basis. And that creates an outlook for every kid coming up in the program. I tell people this all the time about the Rotary. Us being a grassroots program and being able to work with kids from 6 years old all the way up to high school is key. And out of the guys that went to the NBA this year in the draft, four of them, they play for the Rotary at some point. So younger kids coming up in the program, it's hard to tell them that they can't go pro, because that's all they see, is they just see that, hey, everybody who comes through the program and does what they're supposed to do, that's where they end up. And that's a credit to guys like Jamal, guys like Will Conroy, Nate Robinson, even some guys that are unsung heroes out here, like Arell Hennings, with 19th and Spruce, even to trainers like Cartier French, Tony Hopgrid. Those people are really helping move this game in this area forward.
Yeah, you mentioned some names that obviously make me think of the phrase success breeds success. You know, some of the players that you mentioned that have come through the program, some of the coaches such as Will Conroy, Cam Dollar. I've met Cartier on a number of occasions, and his love for the game is off the charts, and his focus on the fundamentals, I know from when I've seen it and talked to other people, are very detailed and are helping guys, you know, prepare themselves, whether it's for college or maybe if they do have the chance to get to the next level. You know, but a lot of guys that play for the top Rotary team are being seen on a constant basis, and they're going to have a chance to play at a high level. You also, with a new recruiting service that you've started up, and just with the kind of overall outlook that Rotary has, you're looking to help not just the best kid or the top 2-3 kids on a team. You want to try to help bring other kids the opportunity to play at the college level. This time right now with the coronavirus and the pandemic and AAU being canceled this summer of 2020, what would the advice be that you would give parents and high school kids right now to give themselves – put themselves in the best opportunity to be evaluated and be seen to have that chance?
I would tell any kid and family, like I do for our program, is to use your resources, right? Right now, more importantly, it's so important to use your resources, so important to reach out to people and connect with other people that are involved in the game for tips, hints, advice, consultation, et cetera. And for me, the Brooks Scouting Report is a huge deal, because it gives not only the elite players a platform, but it gives all players a platform. And the goal for the scouting service is not to, like you said, not to help the perennial powerhouse kids, but it's to help kids at the low Division I level, Division II level, Division III, NAIA, JUCO, National JUCO, NWAG. It's just to help create a platform and create exposure and an avenue for kids at all levels to be able to have college scholarship opportunities.
I love that fact that you're reaching out and you're really trying to help kids in the area. Last question before I let you go. Obviously, you know, with everything being canceled with the AAU season, Rotary's not able to go play on the EYBL this year. I would imagine right about now is when you'd be getting ready to go to the Peach Jam back in Augusta, Georgia. How are you preparing for probably next year to get Rotary back ready to go?
Honestly, just with this year going into next year, for Rotary, all our focus is always take care of the guys now. And that's what we preach. That's what we buy into. That's what everybody's into. So our first job is to continue to help the kids on our 17U. We have only one kid committed within the whole program, and that's Kate Perry to Gonzaga. Everyone else is still on the market. And so first job, foremost, is to really be there to help support our kids in this time during this funny recruitment period, to help them set people up to be signed in the early period, to be signed in the late period, and then keep our 16U team as cohesive and intact as we can, because those are really the kids that are going to move the EYBL forward for the Seattle Rotary brand next season.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate your time. I wish you nothing but the best of luck and health for yourself and your family as we get through this crazy and uncertain times. Looking forward to everybody doing their part so that we can have high school sports this next season. And if so, I look forward to watching your Nathan Hale team play this upcoming year. So, Coach, thanks for joining.
Dan, I appreciate your time. You guys stay safe and take care.
All right. Thanks again, Coach.
No problem. We'll be right back.